everyone's looking at Israel right now, and it seems that the wars are starting to spread. I feel like I'm making a commercial for the rapture, because everything is just moving towards that. In Psalms chapter 83, verse 1, it says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a turbulent, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be remembered. For they have consulted together with one consent, they have confederate against thee." What a time we're living in. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this message, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to see how close everything is and how we need to draw closer to thee even more so now that the time is about to happen. We'll be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the words that I need to speak. For I ask in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This year comes on the Jubilee year of 2023. The last Jubilee was in 1973, 50 years ago, with the Yom Kippur War. So there's something going on here. There's more than meets the eye, so to speak. What's attacking Israel right now are some of the rejected sons of Abraham. In Psalms chapter 121, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will keep thee, will not slumber. Behold, he keepeth Israel, shall never slumber nor sleep." And God is not going to sleep concerning Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter 13. And this is the 10th month, the 8th day of 2023. In the Jewish sense, this is a very significant day. This is the last day of the feast of Israel. In Leviticus chapter 23, 36, it says, "7 days will thou offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no civil work therein." Now, if you go back and do your figuring out, the Lord Jesus Christ was born September the 22nd, 4004. Or, 4004. Now, he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. On the 8th day, he went to the temple to offer up, for Mary to offer up a sacrifice. And he met there a couple of people that were waiting for him. Because when God makes an appointment, he keeps it. And these two people were old, and they were waiting on the Lord. What I want to ask is, what are you waiting on the Lord? We're about ready to go home. And everything is getting kind of serious. It's getting serious here in America. It's getting serious everywhere. World War III is about ready to break loose. And when it does, we'll get into that here in a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What's going on right now is not for us. We're about ready to go home. But this will be the time when the Antichrist shows up. So get ready. Things are going to start changing real quick. We've seen this happen in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we're seeing, the falling away is horrendous. nobody teaches the word of God anymore. And by the way, the only reason I got this computer is because I got to see. If you don't have size 16 font, I can't see nothing. It's just blurs. The world has lost its fear of God. They have no respect for the men of God. They parade their sins around as a proud, "Look what I'm doing." And they wear them like a badge of honor. Same thing that Sodom and Gomorrah did before God destroyed it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness?" You been in the world lately? That's all you hear. People don't know how to use regular words. They have to use four-letter words and everything. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." And boy, we see that all the time. "The destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." The word virtue is a laughable word today. If you start talking about virtue in schools today, they think that you're crazy. You talk to some of these teachers that are in this church, and you start talking to them about how bad things are, and they'll tell you that kids come to them all the time. They're worried because when they have a date, and this is a warning to you parents with little girls, when they have dates, sex is expected. It's time for men to be men in their houses. Put your foot down. In 2023, I'll try to get through this real quick because I want to get to my actual teaching. There's 2 million marriages. 600,000 of those marriages, or almost 7,000 of those marriages, end in divorce, not lasting 8 years. But here's the real kicker. Only 6 out of 1,000 actually do get married. The rest of them live together. STIs and STDs and all these other things are just rampant in America. rampant all over the world. But people look at America as a diseased country. That's something to be real proud of, isn't it? God bless America. No, God have mercy on America. So what is this going to do? This is going to bring World War III. It's going to bring the Antichrist. And if you're not born again, before that happens, you're going to have a rough road to hoe. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And that's literal. We're about ready to go home. If you look at this board up here, I got right in the middle, there's a mural that's painted in Colorado's airport that has a rainbow around a bunch of people. Well, that rainbow is shaped like a brain. And it's got all these people in there, and all these flags and all this stuff, and they all look happy. But what this mural is saying is all these people are of one mind. They're controlled. They're happy because their minds are being controlled. And you're going to like it. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "And I stand upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." This creature comes up out of the sea. He's the Antichrist. He represents all the heritage of the beasts, or the Antichrist in past to the present. You go from Cain all the way to Judas. There are 18 total. There are seven heads. The seven heads are represented by the Tower of Babel, and then it goes all the way to Rome. And when you look at that, you got 10. So where's the other three come from? The other three will come from when the Antichrist comes back down to this earth, or comes to this, or doesn't come, comes up to this earth. He'll come in the nick of time. It's like the Calvary, and I've talked to this about this before. When the Antichrist comes, he's an imitation Christ. He's a counterfeit Christ. When you start reading Revelations, you have to remember he's a counterfeit Christ. So he's going to do things that are like Christ. He's not Christ. He's a false Christ. He's an imitation Christ. He's everything that you want to avoid. But when he comes, there'll probably be a world war going on. And before the first nuclear bomb is launched, this Antichrist is going to ride in on a white horse, save the day, and he'll take those three countries that are complicit in this war, and that's America. And he represents the leopard. I covered this last time I taught. You have the lion, that's England. And then you have the bear, and that's Russia. When they cover these, when this happens, and it's believe me, it's happening right now. But he's going to show up, and he's going to take over. And I believe he'll come in a UFO, because everyone wants to know about UFOs. Everybody's curious. Everybody thinks that somebody on that UFO has the answers, and it'll be the devil. Of course, I talked to you about the Navy took over the UFOs because they say that these UFOs are coming up out of the sea and up out of the earth. And what better way is to have the Navy over it instead of the Air Force, because they're only in the air. The Navy is everywhere. Then you have to start thinking about, okay, what about all this weather problems that we're having? Why is that happening and no one knows the reason other than carbon? Which, when your air is full of carbon, trees tend to grow and produce oxygen. When you have a lot of carbon in the tree, in the air, you have a lot of tree growth. In fact, during the industrial age of America, trees grew by over 25% more during that time than ever before. But your average senator don't know that, and your average climate people don't know that, but your elites do, because they don't want that to happen. They want death. They're lying to the population. If you look at this board down here later, I'll show you how they're lying to us. Verse 2. He's like a leopard, he's like a bear, and he's like a lion. And that's the United States. The lion is Britain, and then you have Russia. The motto of our so-called modern age is, no good crisis should go to waste. Before the beast comes, there will be a war between... Oh, okay, I've already covered that. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to be an interventionist. And boy, do we have that today. Everybody wants to intervene. Everybody wants to counsel. Everybody wants to do this. And here we're going to have a crisis intervention beast straight out of hell that's going to give all the answers to the world. He's going to stop the destruction of the world, and he's going to rule this world with a rainbow crown. Now look up here on this one corner. You see a circle of rainbow colors, and then you have three protrusions coming up shaped like a cobra, just like they do in an Egyptian crown. Each one of those collars in those protrusions, there's six collars in each one of them, and that gives you the number 666. Now there's 17 collars around the base of that. And that's considered a bow. If you read Revelation chapter 4, I believe it is, it talks about an emerald rainbow around the throne of God. But here's this bow. And if you look at King Charles sitting at the global convention, he has this gigantic thing hanging over his head in a three-dimensional type projection. It's three times bigger than he is. He could wear it around his waist. So this is not made for him. This is made for someone else. But anyway, everything is exactly like the Bible says. He had a bow, and a crown was given him. The bow and the crown. You see where I'm coming from? Now, people back then taught the way they thought. A bow and a crown. But it doesn't say it's a bow and arrow. It says it's a bow. When you read Revelation chapter 10, it speaks of a bow, a rainbow on the head of the angel of the Lord, which is a representation of Jesus Christ, and he has a bow on his head. What's that? That's an imitation. Right now, Israel is experiencing this, I believe, because right now that they have a covenant that they're trying to pass with Israel that will divide the land into two pieces. They already made the mistake of dividing Gaza from the state of Israel, and you see what's happening today. So I don't think it's a good idea to divide the land, because God will not tolerate the dividing of his land. But that's what's happening right now. In Joel chapter 3, verse 1, he says, verse 2 talks about parting his land. And where do they end up in that verse? They end up at Jehoshaphat, the valley of Jehoshaphat, or Jezreel, or Armageddon. And this is where it's all going. It's going there. This great reset will place a dictator over the world, and he will select who will live and who will die. And if you're called a Christian, that will be a bad thing. It's a bad thing now, but they're not acting on it. But when the Antichrist gets here, he will act on it. When he gives he has a bow and a crown is given to him, he'll go out conquering and to conquer. He'll kill anyone who professes the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that earlier. But this great reset wants to take all the world and put them in prison camps all over the world. They call them sustainable developments camps, you know, a little 15-minute thing you can walk around. But the Bible talks about this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Woe unto them that join house to house and lay field to field till there be no place, and they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." You know how you like to get alone sometimes? Just get by yourself, collect your thoughts, meditate a little bit. Well, in these camps, you're not going to be able to do that, because you're going to be stacked like cordwood. So if you don't want to do that, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you before it's too late. God says he's going to make us many mansions. I want a mansion. I don't want a little cubicle to sleep in. And I don't want people crawling all over me because they can't get around, because you're all packed in a city that's 15 minutes. Oh my goodness. What are they thinking? Well, they're thinking about your destruction is what they're thinking about. This whole thing is about population control. This is about killing off the human race and only having a few of the elite and these demonic entities coming up out of the earth to dwell on the earth. It will be hell on earth. For centuries, the government's been taking away the missions of the church. Used to, every hospital was named after a church. If you were down and out and you needed help, you went to the church. Then the government says, "Well, we can do that, and we'll put it all on the taxpayers." And they took it away from the church, and the church was, "Oh yeah, it's going to save me some money." But it became a curse to our nation. The son of perdition. The Bible says all these laws are geared towards the lazy man, the man who doesn't want to take care of his his family, doesn't want to feed his kids. All these laws are being passed for the lazy man. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So what is the fourth industrial revolution all about? It's about killing off the masculine men. It's about destroying femininity. It's about destroying the human race and having a bunch of androids. We'll get into that here in a second. For years, they've been taking our children, and they're taking the children from South America and bringing them up here in America, and over 100,000 of these children disappeared, and people whistleblowed on this and told about, hey, wait a minute, we got all these kids disappearing. Where are they going? Who's got them? And what are they doing with them? Have you heard anything else? It's like tweet, 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 tweet. There's no sound. There's nobody raising a fuss about it. Nobody cares. If you don't know what adrenochrome is, go online and look it up. If you don't know what these old people that are living up to 100 years old, these elites, and you don't know why they're living so long, look up children's blood and aging. It's too disturbing to talk about in church. But also, I believe that a lot of these kids are being hidden from the public as untraceable food for these things coming up out of the earth. Think about that for a little bit. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the beast, or worshiped the dragon, which had power unto the beast," or gave power unto the beast. "And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" Everything is pointing towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at everything right now. You know, this word worship, you know what it means? For all you Ruckmanites, you should know what it means. It means kiss. You have to kiss the Antichrist. You have to kiss the beast. So where does that come from? It comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Baal, which was an idol that the Jews and the world worshipped, he's the devil, they had to kiss him. To kiss the idol. Over in Rome, they got a toe of one of these idols, and people think it's the foot of St. Peter, and they about kiss the toes off of it. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Woo. There's going to be a lot of kissing going on during the tribulation. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss in Luke chapter 22, verse 48. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemy, and the power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. That's the last half of the tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against the God to blaspheme his name and the tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." He's cussing us while he's being cast down on the earth. I don't care. He's getting what he deserves. The worst part of the tribulation will be the first 3.5 years, or the last 3.5 years, because the first 3.5 years, if you're here and you receive Jesus Christ, you're going to go pretty quick. You're going to get your head cut off, or you're going to be killed in battle. The Bible says it doesn't make any difference, and we'll see that here in a second. The temple will be finished at the time. However, it will be occupied not by the Lord Jesus Christ or the Shekinah glory, what everybody else calls. And if you look at that brain that I was talking about, like this up here that Michelangelo drew back thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, you have a brain with God with his arms around Shekinah glory, which is a naked woman touching the hand of a naked man. Now, that is very disturbing, but when you analyze that and this, it kind of goes together. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 says, I saw a white horse, and him that had a bow and a crown, it was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So he's going to kill 1/4 of the population, that's 2 billion people. This counterfeit Christ is going to be so much like Christ that it'll even fool the very elect if they were here. And the Jews are going to have to be very discerning to see him for who he really is. Verse 7 says, it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and the power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That verse 7 says, unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to over all kindreds and tongues. There's no place you can hide. Those that are underground, they're going to cry for the rocks to fall on them. So don't go underground and think you can hide away. It's not going to happen. And believe me, if you looked at some of the maps of underground facilities around the world, the world looks like a honeycomb. Russia thinks more of their people than this country does. In Russia, they're giving them gas masks and giving them anti-nuclear drugs like iodine, and they got underground facilities for 3/4 of their population to go underground. What are they doing here? To be a saint during the tribulation, especially the last half, you're going to have to be just like Job. And you read the book of Job, and a lot of people never put two and two together, but Job is about the tribulation. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job, and those chapters represent the plight that the Jewish people are going to have to go through. What's the first real vial that's poured out on this world? Sores and boils. Let's look what it says here. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, it says, so when Satan went forth to present presence of the Lord, he smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. But the worst part was, he left Job with his wife. He took all of his children and his kids, but he left him with his nagging wife. Now, I can't understand why that happened, but when it was all over with, Job got everything back, twice as much as he got before. Also, all through the book of Job, he says, though he slay me, he knew he was going to die, but he was willing to trust the Lord and to live his life pleasing to him no matter what. Let's see Christians do that. We get mad because there's a little disgruntled thing going on in church. Rather than keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you take it off and you go your own way. And that's not me speaking, that's the Holy Spirit, because I wasn't going to mention this. But we're so petty and so childish. But Job says, though after my skin's worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. He keeps his eyes on God, and that's what the Jews are going to have to do. They're going to have to be super Christians during the tribulation, the last half. And 2/3 of them are going to be destroyed by but one third will go through the fire. Revelation chapter 13, verse 10 says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. In order to be saved during the tribulation, you're going to die. Why not receive the Lord Jesus Christ and live?" But the son of perdition, sends a helper, and he's called the false prophet. And this prophet comes up out of the earth, and he wants everyone to worship this beast that was dead and rises again. I say that I can't find any real scriptures to prove this, but I think that this is going to be the resurrection of Balaam, because he gave so much trouble to the Jews during the time of the Exodus, and he caused a curse to be put on the Jews. So I think that this demonic entity that was called a priest is going to come back. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, he says, "He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, that causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth greater wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, when you look at this, I always think of Moses and Aaron. Here, Moses and Aaron did all the speaking, and this false prophet is going to be something like that. But he also has this power to call fire from heaven, just like the two witnesses did. And he's going to have these believable imitation, counterfeit miracles. These miracles will deceive a lot of people. When you get into the second half of the tribulation, that's when the mark of the beast is implemented. It's not the first part, it's the last part. So we still got, if he comes today, they still got 3.5 years to decide whether they want the mark or not. But once you take that mark, you're gone. When you look at that mark, because we're running out of time, if you look at that mark, I've talked about this before. They have implantable circuitry that can be absorbed by a tattoo on the skin, and it goes into the skin, under the skin, and it creates a circuitry just like a cell phone. So if you want to call somebody, you just think it, and it goes out. That's how crazy the world's technology is. So they said, well, this is years ago. They said, but there's a problem. We got to have a battery implanted in a person in order for this thing to work. So lo and behold, they started feeding us graphene. And this graphene goes into your system. They put it in shots. They put it in everything. And it goes into your system. And it's basically pure carbon. And they even have it to where they can control it by frequencies. And they say that they can cause a net to surround your brain and monitor your neurons. And then they can control your thoughts. So when the Antichrist comes as false prophet, when he looks out into a crowd of people, under the power of the AI, this system of cameras and computers, and they can look and see, okay, he's not one of us. He's not one of us. He's not one of us. Get him out of here. Full control of your faculties. If you receive this mark, you're going to be controlled, and you'll have no thought about anything but serving this devil. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, the image of the beast, should be killed." So this image is going to be a robotic thing. When your phones are called androids, right? What's an android? It's a human with mechanical parts implanted in that person. When you got a cell phone in your hand, and some people can't turn them loose, you're an android. But if you have it in your person, you're a super android, because you can't get rid of it. And it's there all the time, and it monitors everything that you say, do, and think, and everything that you can imagine. But this robot will have all that power under the AI system. We're so close to going home. Oh, yeah, for graphene, they got a company in California that's making graphene batteries now. They're trying to get rid of the lithium batteries, go to graphene because they're more efficient. The technology, and I've said this 1,000 times, technology that you see today is nothing compared to what they got. They have the mind of Satan and the devil's angels to bleed this information, this technology off of. And they believe that they can stop God from coming back. That's how arrogant and stupid they are. Because the devil's a liar. You know, when something holds something together, when that is no longer around, what happens? It falls apart. Scientists for years have been studying the atom, and they can't figure out why all these things circling around each other, that's 95% air, why it holds together. What's holding it together? Why does gravity work? Well, I can tell you real easy. Jesus Christ. By him all things consist. Without him, there's nothing. So what are you going to do? You going to trust someone who's determined to kill you and send you to hell? Or are you going to trust life? I chose life. But this implantable technology is far beyond what I even have on the board. The last two verses, "And no man might buy or sell, save he hath the mark, and the name of the beast, and the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Everything is pointing toward this 666. But I think that we're just skimming the surface of all this. When you teach Revelations, and I've written a commentary over and over again over the years, because the more information you get, the more updating you have to do. Because nothing stays the same. What I'm saying today might not be true tomorrow, but I don't think we have a tomorrow. And I'm very selective. I research this stuff pretty good. I think we're about ready to go home. I think all this is starting to kick off. All the things are right for the Lord Jesus Christ to return for his church. And the big question is, are you ready? This covenant that's coming, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us, unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and understanding falsehood have we hid ourselves. Boy, that sounds like us today, don't it? But God tells this to the Jews in Isaiah chapter, just a few verses down. He says, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down by it. But God is going to save the Jews. They're going to go through hell in the tribulation. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's the time when God is going to bring Israel back into the fold. We're almost there. And I thank God that I have an opportunity to get up here and teach this, because it's an honor, but it's also a scary, fearful honor, because I fear the word of God. But there's nothing good going on in this world. And if you think there is, you've been lied to. The only thing good is the Lord Jesus Christ still has his arms open wide and ready to receive you if you will receive him. And his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I thank you, Lord, for not keeping us in the dark, but proclaiming what's going to happen in the end and how to be ready and how to be waiting and watching and looking for your coming. Lord, help us not to be lackadaisical. Help us to be standing up strong in the faith. For I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior. And I pray for the speaker that's going to speak in an hour, that you'll bless him and bless his message. And I pray that you'll use him to bring glory and honor and praise to your holy and righteous name. Amen.